Welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Thursday, March 31st, and we had 11 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Cleveland, the Mavericks defeated the Cavaliers 120-112. In Indiana, the Nuggets beat the Pacers 125-118. In Washington, the Wizards defeated the Magic 127-110. In Boston, the Heat beat the Celtics 106-98. In New York, the Hornets defeated the Knicks 125-114. In Toronto, the Raptors handily defeated the Timberwolves 125-102. In Houston, the Kings beat the Rockets 121-118. In Oklahoma City, the Thunder were defeated by the Hawks 136-118. In San Antonio, the Grizzlies just edged past the Spurs 112-111. In San Francisco, the Suns beat the Warriors 107-103. And finally, in Portland, the Pelicans defeated the Trailblazers 117-107. So we'll break down all 11 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers were defeated by the Dallas Mavericks, 120-112. The Mavs were led by who else but Luka Doncic, another incredible performance, 35 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds, once again leading his team in all three categories. And then they also got a big game from Dorian Finney-Smith, 28 points on 10 of 16 shooting. He had 6 three-pointers. And then they got 18 points from Jalen Brunson as well. Whereas the Cavaliers were led by Caris LeVert. He had 32 points in the starting lineup. He was very efficient, 11 of 19 from the field. And then they also got a double-double from Darius Garland, 25 points and 10 assists, and 16 points off the bench from Lamar Stevens. But unfortunately for the Cavaliers, they just had one really bad quarter, and it sunk them. It was the third quarter. They were outscored 39-22 in that third period. Otherwise, it was really close, and in fact, the Cavaliers were actually leading at halftime. But they were just completely dominated in that third quarter, and so then they were down by double digits heading into the fourth, and the Mavs were able to maintain basically a double-digit lead throughout the entire fourth quarter. So just like that, the Cavaliers lost this game with a single putrid quarter. Overall in the game, they were 50% from the field, 44% from three, so they actually shot the ball quite efficiently. The Mavericks were slightly more efficient from the field, but they were worse from beyond the arc. But they were slightly more efficient with the ball handling. And so with this victory, Dallas now improves to 48-29. So that is good for third in the Western Conference. They have surpassed the Golden State Warriors, who are also at 48-29, but the Mavericks have the edge via the tiebreaker. So the Mavs are in third now. The Warriors are in fourth. And then the Mavericks are 6 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies in second, and still 2 games up on the Denver Nuggets in fifth. And the Mavs are plus 2.8 in the point differential. That's actually worse than a couple teams below them, but they're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Cavaliers, this loss takes them to 42-34. So they are in 7th in the Eastern Conference, 2 games out from the top 6, the Toronto Raptors in 6th, and 2 games up on the Brooklyn Nets in 8th. So it's looking likely at this point that the Cavaliers will in fact remain in that 7th seed, and it's not exactly a place you'd want to be, because that means you got to face the Brooklyn Nets in the first game of the play-in tournament, and if you lose that, then you got to play the winner of the Hornets-Hawks game to even make the playoffs at all. So in a precarious position here, to say the least, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are plus 2.4 in the point differential. They're only 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Mavericks were led, of course, by Luka Doncic. 35 points in 38 minutes. He was 14 of 26 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, 13 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And he was plus 14 in the plus-minus. Just another fantastic performance from Doncic. He is not exactly in the MVP conversation, but the numbers he's been putting up over the past couple of months have just been incredible. Definitely MVP caliber in any other season. And then they also got a huge performance from Dorian Finney-Smith, definitely his best game of the season. He had 28 points in 37 minutes. He was 10 of 16 from the field, 6 of 12 from beyond the arc, and he had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. And then they also got 18 points from Jalen Brunson in 39 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists. 15 points for Dwight Powell, he had 5 rebounds, and 9 for Reggie Bullock. He had 3 three-pointers in 42 minutes. And off the bench for the Mavs, they got 6 points from Maxi Kleba in 26 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 points for Davis Bertans in 10 minutes, 2 for Josh Green, 2 for Brandon Knight, and 2 for Marquise Chris. Spencer Dinwiddie did not play in this game. And as for the Cavaliers, they were led, as I mentioned, by the backcourt, Caris LeVert and Darius Garland. They combined for 57 points, with LeVert leading the way. He had 32 in 38 minutes. He was 11 of 19 from the field. He had 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Now, he was negative 18 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. And actually, Garland was the team high by far. He was plus 10, so an interesting dichotomy there. Garland had a big double-double, 25 points and 10 assists on 37 minutes. He was 10 of 17 from the field, 4 of 4 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 rebounds and 4 steals. So a really solid line for Garland, but efficient scoring for both Garland and LeVert. And then they also got 13 points from Lauri Markkanen in 33 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds. 12 points from Moses Brown, the big man. He got faked out of his socks by Luka Doncic at one point, but he was perfect from the field, 5 of 5 in 21 minutes, and he also had 9 rebounds. And Isaac Okoro, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 2 points in 32 minutes. He was 1 of 5 from the field, but he had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And off the bench for the Cavaliers, they got 16 points from Lamar Stevens. He was very efficient in this game, 6 of 9 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, and he also had 4 rebounds. And then they got 8 points from Kevin Love. He had 5 rebounds in 26 minutes, and 4 points from Brandon Goodwin. Dylan Windler and RJ Nimhart saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. All right, next up we can move on to Indiana, where the Pacers were defeated by the Denver Nuggets, 125-118. The Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic, like Luka Doncic, leading his team in all three categories, 37 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists. Incredible stuff. MVP caliber numbers for him as well, of course. And then they also got 20 points from the rookie Bones Highland off the bench, and 18 points from Will Barton in the starting lineup. Whereas the Pacers were led by Buddy Hield, he had 20 points, including 5 three-pointers, and then they got a double-double from Tyrese Halliburton, 15 and 12 assists, and a double-double from Goga Batadze, the big man. He had 17 points and 10 rebounds, and they got 18 points from Terry Taylor. In fact, all 5 of the starters and 2 guys off the bench all scored in double digits, so it was a group effort from the Pacers, and they were actually in this game late. It was back and forth at the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth, but the Nuggets were just able to pull away. They ultimately outscored the Pacers 34-27 in that fourth quarter, so just getting the edge in the end. But they were actually dominating this game earlier on. They had outscored the Pacers 43-15 in the first quarter, and then they expanded upon that lead even further in the second. At one point, with 10 minutes to go in the quarter, after a 3-pointer from Bryn Forbes, it was 50-19, a 31-point game. So completely dominant for the Nuggets early on, but then they allowed the Pacers to start chipping away at that lead throughout the rest of the second quarter, and then it was really the third when they made their comeback completely. They outscored the Nuggets 38-22 in the second. So just like that, the Pacers were back in this game, and then like I said, it was back and forth until the Nuggets just pulled away in the very end. So a really resilient win here for the Nuggets to overcome that comeback attempt by the Pacers, and they were extremely efficient in this game, 62% from the field and 42% from three. So that's really incredible. The reason why they allowed the Pacers to get back in this game, though, was the turnovers. They handed it over 20 times versus just 8 for Indiana. So really sloppy ball handling allowed the Pacers to get back in this game, but that shooting from the Nuggets was just too incredible, and they couldn't overcome that deficit because they were just 45% from the field and 30% from three. So with this loss, the Pacers now fall to 25-52. So that is good for 13th still in the Eastern Conference. They have been glued to that 13th spot basically all season long. They are 4.5 games ahead of the Detroit Pistons in 14th, and then they're 8.5 games behind the Washington Wizards in 12th. And the Pacers are negative 3.2 in the point differential. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They are 3-7 in their last 10. So really tanking to their heart's content here in the final stretch of the season. There's still no sign of Miles Turner, and they're still missing several other guys due to injury as well. But as for the Nuggets, this win takes them to 46-31. So that is good for 5th in the Western Conference. They are now half a game up on the Utah Jazz in 6th, and then they're 2 games behind the Golden State Warriors in 4th. So things are very topsy-turvy at the moment in the Western Conference, the middle of the West, I should say. The Nuggets are only plus 2.5 in the point differential, which is worse than all the other top teams in the West, but they're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Nuggets were, of course, led by Nikola Jokic. He was incredible in this game. 37 points in 36 minutes. He was 15 of 19 from the field and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He didn't attempt a three-pointer, but he had 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Now, he did have 7 turnovers, but still, he was plus 11 in the plus-minus. Just incredible performance from Jokic here. You would have liked a couple of three-pointers or maybe for those turnovers to be a little bit lower, but still, just insane numbers for the Joker. And then they also got 18 points from Will Barton in 38 minutes. He was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. 10 points for Aaron Gordon. He was 4 of 7 from the field in 36 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. 11 points for Monty Morris, the point guard. In 28 minutes, he was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And Jeff Green rounding out the starting lineup. He was the worst starter, just 1 of 6 from the field. And off the bench for Denver, they got 20 points from the rookie Bones Highland. His incredible run to close the season continues. He was 8 of 14 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then they also got 11 points from the backup big man DeMarcus Cousins. He was quite efficient as well, 5 of 6 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds and 2 assists. And then they got 5 points from Devon Reed in 17 minutes, and 3 points from Bryn Forbes and Austin Rivers. And as for the Pacers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Buddy Hield. He had 20 points in 37 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field, 5 of 11 from beyond the arc, and he had 2 rebounds, 4 assists. They also got a double-double from Tyrese Haliburton and Goga Batadze. So Haliburton, the guard, he had 15 points and 12 assists in 37 minutes. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds and 4 steals as well. And he was plus 16 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. So really solid performance once again from Haliburton. And then they got 17 points and 10 rebounds from Goga Batadze, the big man, in 33 minutes. He was 5 of 14 from the field. And he had 2 threes, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 18 points from Terry Taylor in 36 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And 13 points for Justin Anderson, rounding out the starting lineup. In 32 minutes, Anderson was 6 of 13 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. So pretty solid production from all 5 starters for the Pacers. And then they also got 15 points off the bench from Jalen Smith, the backup big man formerly of the Phoenix Suns. In 21 minutes, he was 5 of 15 from the field, so not super efficient, but he had 7 rebounds and 2 three-pointers in that time. And then 10 points for Kiefer Sykes in 15 minutes. He was efficient, 4 of 6 from the field. And then 5 points for Dwayne Washington Jr. and 5 as well for Lance Stephenson, although he was negative 27 in the plus-minus, by far the team low. All right, moving along to Washington, where the Wizards handily defeated the Orlando Magic, 127-110. The Wiz were led by Kristaps Porzingis. He had 35 points. I believe that's the most he's had since joining the Wizards. He also had 8 rebounds. He was 11 of 18 from the field. And then they got 25 points from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and 17 points from Rui Hachimura and Daniel Gafford off the bench. Whereas the Magic were led by Franz Wagner, the rookie. He had 28 points in the starting lineup. He was 11 of 20 from the field. It's a shame that he's being overshadowed by some of these other incredible Rookie of the Year candidates like Evan Mobley and Scottie Barnes, because he is having a fantastic season in and of himself. He was 3 of 3 from beyond the arc in this game. And then they also got 19 points off the bench from Markelle Fultz and 12 points from Cole Anthony. But unfortunately for the Magic, they were just handily defeated in this game by the Wizards, specifically in the second half. It was actually the Magic who were leading early in this game. After the first quarter, they were up by 7 points. It was 35-28 in favor of the Magic. But then things started to go downhill in the second quarter. They were outscored 30-21. And then in the third, kept going 28-23 in favor of the Wizards. And then in the fourth, they really put the nail in the coffin, outscoring the Magic 41-31. So in the end, it was a dominant victory for Washington. They were 51% from the field, 36% from three. That's pretty solid. They also had the rebounding advantage 51-42, thanks in part to 8 rebounds from Kristaps Porzingis and Denny Avdija, and 10 rebounds from the guard, Tomas Satoransky. He actually had a double-double. He had 13 assists and 10 rebounds, 0 points. The rarely seen 0-point double-double from Satoransky. But anyways, the Magic, on the other hand, were only 41% from the field, 33% from three. So with this loss, the Magic now fall to 20-57. So they are solely in control of the worst record in the Eastern Conference at the moment, half a game below the Pistons, who have lost one less game. And then they are actually tied with the Houston Rockets in terms of worst record in the league. So it's going to be a race to the bottom. bottom for those three, the Pistons, Magic, and Rockets, and then the Thunder would love to get in there as well, but they have two more wins than those other two teams. They've been too competent. The Magic are on a four-game losing streak, and their negative 7.9 point differential is worst in the Eastern Conference, second worst in the NBA. As for the Wizards, this win takes them to 33-43, so they're up in 12th in the East. They are, like I said, 8.5 games above the Indiana Pacers in 13th, and then they're just half a game behind the New York Knicks in 11th. Both of those teams, the Knicks and Wizards, are still trying at this point in the season, but neither of them really have a realistic chance of breaking into the play-in game. The Knicks are 5.5 games behind the Hawks, and then the Wiz are 6 games back. So, yeah, not going to happen, but they are still putting out a competent team, so they are winning these games against these terrible teams. Their negative 3.0 point differential is, in fact, 4th worst in the conference. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Magic were led, as I mentioned, by Franz Wagner, 28 points in 31 minutes. He was 11 of 20 from the field, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. So really efficient game for Wagner. And he also had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Then they also got 12 points from Cole Anthony, the sophomore point guard. He was 4 of 11 from the field in 25 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 10 points for Mo Bamba in 22 minutes. There was no Wendell Carter, so Bamba was the solo big man in the lineup. And he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 6 points for Chuma Okeke, inserted into the starting lineup. In 30 minutes, he was 2 of 9 from the field. He had 8 rebounds. And RJ Hampton, rounding out the starting lineup, had 7 points and 2 assists in 27 minutes. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 19 points from Markelle Fultz in 21 minutes only. He was 7 of 14 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Really solid production throughout the box score from Fultz. And then they also got 10 points from Ignas Brazdeikis in 19 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. 6 points for Admiral Schofield. 4 points for Mo Wagner and Robin Lopez. And Lopez had a nasty block at one point. And then 2 points for Terrence Ross and Jeff Doughton. And as for the Wizards, they were led, as I mentioned, by Kristaps Porzingis. He had 35 points in 29 minutes. He was very efficient, 11 of 18 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and 10 of 13 from the free throw line. And he also had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. He was plus 23 in the plus minus. The team high in that regard was actually Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He was plus 24 in his 33 minutes, and he was very efficient as well, 25 points on 10 of 17 shooting. And he was 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he also had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And then they got 17 points from Rui Hachimura in 29 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks as well. Corey Kispert, the rookie, had 11 points and 3 rebounds in 36 minutes. And Tomas Satoransky, rounding out the starting lineup, like I mentioned, he was 0 of 2 from the field, so he didn't score at all, but he still had a double-double with 10 rebounds, 13 assists. And off the bench for Washington, they got 17 points from the backup big man, Daniel Gafford. He had 7 rebounds, and he was 6 of 7 from the field in 19 minutes. He had 3 blocks as well. And then 8 points for Denny Avdia in 26 minutes. He had 8 rebounds as well and 5 assists. 7 points for Anthony Gill in 19 minutes, and 7 points as well for Ish Smith. All right, moving along to Boston, where the Celtics were defeated by the Miami Heat, 106-98. The Heat were led by Jimmy Butler. He had 24 points, and then they also got a double-double from Bam Adebayo, 17 points and 12 rebounds, and 23 points from Kyle Lowry. Whereas the Celtics were led by Jaylen Brown, he had 28, and then they also got 23 from Jason Tatum, and 15 points off the bench from Daniel Tice. Of course, no Robert Williams for the Celtics. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks with that injury, and so they had Al Horford and Grant Williams in the starting lineup, and it was a close one in the end, not a blowout by any means. The Celtics were right in this game throughout the majority of regulation. There was one point briefly in the middle of the third quarter when the Heat opened up a double-digit lead, but the Celtics quickly erased that deficit, and then it was just back and forth until about midway through the fourth quarter when the Heat started to slowly but surely pull away. The Celtics' offense just kind of stagnated down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Derek White hit a three-pointer with 4:21 left that put the Celtics behind by one. It was 96-97 at that point. But then the Celtics, as you could envision by the scoreline, only managed to score 2 more points throughout the rest of this game in the final 4.5 minutes. So disappointing offense to be sure for the Celtics, whereas the Heat were able to chug along and open up a bit of a lead there at the very end of this game. And overall, the shooting was not very efficient for the Celtics, at all. They were just 41% from the field in this game and 29% from three. The Heat were a bit better, 48% from the field, 38% from three. So frankly, considering that disparity with the shooting, the Celtics' awful field goal percentage, you might have expected this to be a more comfortable victory for the Heat, but it was a very sloppy game by both teams, actually. They both had 18 turnovers, and so it was just back and forth throughout, but ultimately the Heat were able to get the victory in the end. And so with this win, Miami now improves to 49-28. So that is good for first once again in the Eastern Conference. They had dropped briefly out of the first seed in the East, but they are back atop the conference, one game up on the Bucks in second, and now two games up on the 76ers and Celtics in third and fourth. And the Heat are plus 4.1 in the point differential, which is second best in the conference after the Celtics. They're on a two-game winning streak now after that losing streak that they had been on. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Celtics, this loss takes them to 47-30. So down in fourth, like I said, just behind the Philadelphia 76ers by a couple of percentage points because they've played two extra games. They have one more win and one more loss. And then they are 2.5 games up on the Chicago Bulls in fifth. And the Celts are plus 6.6 in the point differential, which is in fact best in the conference, but they're on a two-game losing streak and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So hopefully these two losses for the Celtics don't portend something to come with the Robert Williams absence, because they've definitely looked significantly less dominant without him. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Heat were led, as I mentioned, by Jimmy Butler. He had 24 points in 37 minutes in the starting lineup. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He was plus 11 in the plus minus. They also got 23 points from Kyle Lowry. He was 8 of 16 from the field, 6 of 12 from beyond the arc. And then he had 8 assists, and that was it in the box score for Lowry. A double-double for Bam Adebayo, 17 points and 12 rebounds in 33 minutes. He was 5 of 10 from the field, and he had 8 assists and 2 steals. And then 14 points for Max Strus, still in the starting lineup in place of Duncan Robinson. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. And he also had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Really solid production throughout the box score for Strus. And then P.J. Tucker, rounding out the starting lineup, had 2 points on 1 of 3 shooting. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Heat, they got 12 points and 10 rebounds from Tyler Hero. He was 5 of 14 from the field in 32 minutes. He had 5 assists as well. 9 points for Dwayne Dedman, the backup big man. He had 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 4 rebounds, and he was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field. And then they also got 5 points from Duncan Robinson. He only played 15 minutes, though. He was 2 of 5 from the field. And Gabe Vincent saw the court for 13 minutes, but he did not score. And as for the Celtics, they were led by Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Brown had 28 points in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 22 from the field, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. He had 10 rebounds and 6 assists. And then Tatum had 23 points on 9 of 17 shooting. He was 0 of 5 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. And then 10 points for Marcus Smart. He was brutal in this game, though. 3 of 15 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc, but still, that is awful field goal percentage for Smart in 35 minutes. And he had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, and 6 turnovers. And then 6 points and 15 rebounds for Al Horford, the veteran big man, in 34 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field, and he had 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And Grant Williams, rounding out the starting lineup, had 4 points, 3 rebounds in 26 minutes. Off the bench for the Celtics, just 3 players saw the court. 15 points for Daniel Tice in 17 minutes. He was 6 of 6 from the field. He had 1 rebound. 9 points for Derek White. He was 3 of 9 from the field in 32 minutes. And Peyton Pritchard saw the court for 20 minutes, and he had 3 points in that time. All right, next up we can move on to New York, where the Knicks were defeated by the Charlotte Hornets, 125-114. The Hornets were led by Miles Bridges. He is closing the season out strong. He had 31 points. And they also got 20 and 15 from LaMelo Ball, 15 assists, that is, and 21 points off the bench from Kelly Oubre Jr. Whereas the Knicks were led by Evan Fournier, he had 30 points, and then they also got a double-double from Alec Burks, 12 points and 12 rebounds, 21 from Julius Randle, and 25 points from RJ Barrett. But unfortunately for the Knicks, they were just edged at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter. They were neck and neck with the Hornets throughout most of the first half. There was never more than a double-digit lead throughout not only the first half, but actually the majority of the third quarter as well. It was just the very end of the third when the Hornets started to pull away. Overall, they outscored the Knicks 33-28 in that third quarter, so they had a decent lead heading into the fourth, and then they expanded upon that lead in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Knicks 34-31. There was a stretch at the beginning of the fourth quarter where the Knicks just could not buy a bucket, and that was really what allowed the Hornets to pull away and ultimately get this victory in the end. And they shot pretty efficiently, the Hornets did. They were 54% from the field, 34% from three. The Knicks were just worse from the field, 47%. And they also had 14 turnovers versus just 12 for the Hornets. So a pretty solid win here for Charlotte. They are battling with the Nets and Hawks to see who's going to end up in 8th, 9th, and 10th in the Eastern Conference. And that is obviously very influential in terms of the play-in game, as whoever is in 8th only has to win one of their two games. And then whoever's in 10th has to win two games in a row, both on the road. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But as of right now, the Hornets are in 9th. They are 40-37 with this win. They're just half a game behind the Brooklyn Nets in 8th, who are 40-36, and half a game up on the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, who are 39-37. So really tightly contested there at the bottom of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. The Hornets are plus 0.4 in the point differential, which is exactly the same as the Nets, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So the Hornets really peaking at the right time, and in fact, all three of those teams are playing very well. The Nets and Hawks are 7-3 in their last 10. And as for the Knicks, this loss takes them to 34-43. So they are down in 11th, 5.5 games behind the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, and half a game up on the Wizards in 12th. And the Knicks are negative 0.6 in the point differential, which is exactly 11th in the conference. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games, so they've actually been closing the season out pretty strongly. But unfortunately for them, they're just too far behind the Hawks at this point to realistically be able to make it. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Hornets were led, as I mentioned, by Miles Bridges. He had 31 points in 34 minutes in the starting lineup, and he was incredibly efficient, 11 of 15 from the field. And he was 4 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists as well. Then they also got a big double-double from LaMelo Ball, 20 points and 15 assists in 37 minutes. He was 8 of 18 from the field, only 1 of 8 from 3, but he also had 5 rebounds and 3 steals. Now, he did have 6 turnovers as well, but you'll take the 6 turnovers with the 15 assists, and he was also plus 20 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. The Hornets also got 15 points from his partner in the backcourt, Terry Rozier. He was 5 of 16 from the field, also 1 of 8 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. 11 points for PJ Washington in the starting lineup. He was 5 of 8 from the field in 34 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And Mason Plumlee, rounding out the starting lineup, had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Off the bench for Charlotte, they got 21 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. In 24 minutes, he was 8 of 11 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds. And then they also got 8 points from Cody Martin and Montrezl Harrell, 3 points for Jalen McDaniels, and 2 for Isaiah Thomas. And as for the Knicks, they were led, as I mentioned, by Evan Fournier. He had 30 points in 35 minutes. He was very efficient, 10 of 16 from the field, 6 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds. And then they also got 25 points from RJ Barrett. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. A double-double for Alec Burks, 12 points and 12 rebounds. He had 5 assists. He was only 4 of 15 from the field, though. And then 21 points for Julius Randle. He had 4 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. And then Mitchell Robinson, rounding out the starting lineup, had 6 points on 2 of 4 shooting in 34 minutes. He had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And off the bench for the Knicks, they got 16 points from the sophomore guard, Emmanuel Quickley. He was 6 of 12 from the field in 23 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. They also got 4 points from Obi Toppin in 12 minutes, the sophomore big man. He had 2 blocks. And then Jericho Sims and Miles McBride saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. All right, moving along to Toronto, where the Raptors handily defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves, 125-102. The Raptors were led by Gary Trent Jr. He had 29 points, and they also got 22 from OG Anunoby and 17 from Scottie Barnes, the rookie. Whereas the Timberwolves were led by Anthony Edwards. He had 24 points, and they got 16 and 10 from Karl-Anthony Towns, 13 points from D'Angelo Russell. But this was a really disappointing loss for the Timberwolves. And not just because of the implications for the standings. It was looking like the Timberwolves might have a chance to break into the top six there briefly, but they have since fallen back to earth. They're on a two-game losing streak now, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. So it looks unlikely at this point that they will be able to break into that top six. But also, it was just a disappointing loss because they were up significantly early on, and then they just got completely dominated in the second, third, and fourth quarters. So in the first quarter, they outscored the Raptors 30-20. So they were leading by 10 points heading into the second. In fact, they actually expanded the lead all the way up to like 17 at one point after a three-pointer from D'Angelo Russell with 9:42 left in the second. It was 40-23, so the Timberwolves looking really solid early in this game, but then they just completely fell apart from there on out. So not only did the Raptors close that gap by the end of the first half, they actually took a slight lead themselves. They outscored the Timberwolves in the end 42-30 in that second quarter. So they were just totally lifeless in the second half of the second quarter. And then that continued in the second half. They were outscored in the third quarter 35-22 and then 28-20 in the fourth quarter. So just like that, the Raptors erased that deficit in the second quarter, opened up a lead themselves in the third, and then expanded upon that lead in the fourth. So in the end, it was a blowout for the Raptors. It was basically garbage time throughout the final couple of minutes of this game as the Raptors were leading by like over 25 points in the middle of the fourth quarter. So really impressive victory for the Raps, and they shot very efficiently, as you might expect, 50% from the field, 50% from three. That is remarkable. They were, let's see here, they were 48 of 96 from the field overall, 18 of 36 from three. Whereas the Timberwolves, on the other hand, were 40% from the field, 29% from three. And to make matters worse, they also had 23 turnovers. Really sloppy ball handling and terrible shooting for the Timberwolves. Whereas the Raptors, they had 19 turnovers, so it wasn't exactly a clean game from them either. But that was obviously significantly overshadowed by the Timberwolves and especially their terrible shooting. So in the end, the Raptors get the win and they now improve to 44-32. So they are up in sixth in the Eastern Conference, having surpassed the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in fact, they're actually on the precipice of surpassing the Chicago Bulls as well, because both of those teams are tied at 44-32, but the Bulls have the tiebreaker currently. So the Raps are in sixth, the Bulls are in fifth, and then they are 2.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in fourth. And the Raps are plus 2.3 in the point differential. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So I don't know about you, but I would not want to face the Raptors in the first round of the playoffs if I was some of these teams ahead of them, like the Bulls or the Celtics or the 76ers. They could very easily upset one of these teams. And as for the Timberwolves, this loss takes them to 43-34, so they're down in seventh still in the Western Conference. They've been in that seventh seed for quite some time. They still have a 5.5 game lead on the Clippers in eighth, and then now they are 2.5 games behind the Jazz in sixth. And the Wolves are plus 2.8 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. They're on a 2-game losing streak, though. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Timberwolves were led, as I mentioned, by Anthony Edwards. He had 24 points in 32 minutes. He was 10 of 17 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, and he had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block, although he was negative 19 in the plus-minus, and unsurprisingly, all 5 of the starters were at least negative 9 in the plus-minus. They got 16 points and 10 rebounds from Karl-Anthony Towns. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, but 7 turnovers. 13 points for D'Angelo Russell. He was ice cold in this game, going 3 of 15 from the field, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He was negative 22, which was the team low. And then they got 10 points from the other two starters, Patrick Beverley and Jared Vanderbilt. So Beverley, the veteran point guard, was 3 of 6 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And Vanderbilt had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Off the bench for the Timberwolves, they got 5 points from Torian Prince in 20 minutes. He was 2 of 9 from the field. 6 points for Jake Layman in just 5 minutes. 9 points for Naz Reid, the backup big man, and he kind of stuffed the stat sheet. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 5 points from Jordan McLaughlin in 27 minutes, and 4 points from Jalen Noel, but he was 1 of 7 from the field. And as for the Raptors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Gary Trent Jr. He had 29 points in 27 minutes. He was 9 of 13 from the field, 6 of 8 from 3. Now, he didn't do a whole lot else in the box score, just 2 rebounds, and that was it. But still, the scoring was off the charts for Trent. And then they also got 22 points from OG Anunoby. He was the team high in the plus-minus, plus 29 in his 32 minutes. He was 9 of 13 from the field, perfect 4 of 4 from 3. And he also had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they got a triple-double from Pascal Siakam, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists in 40 minutes. He was 5 of 15 from the field, so not the most efficient game for Siakam. He had 1 steal, 1 block, and he had 6 turnovers. So you love to see those 10 rebounds and 13 assists, but the turnovers and the field goal percentage weren't exactly that fantastic for Siakam. Then they also got 17 points from the rookie, Scottie Barnes. He was 7 of 9 from the field in 25 minutes in this game. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 12 points for Fred VanVleet in 32 minutes. He was 5 of 15 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, and a block. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 13 points from Precious Achiuwa. He was 5 of 9 from the field. In 22 minutes, he had 4 rebounds. 10 points for Thaddeus Young in 17 minutes. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 assists, 4 rebounds. 6 points from Chris Boucher. He was 2 of 11 from the field in 22 minutes. And then the backups saw the court for like 4 minutes at the end of this game for the Raptors. And Delano Banton, the rookie, scored 4 points in that time. All right, and next up we can move on to Houston, where the Rockets were defeated by the Sacramento Kings, 121-118. The Kings were led by Damian Jones. He had a surprisingly productive game, 24 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 blocks. And then they also got 24 points from Davion Mitchell, the rookie point guard, and he also stuffed the stat sheet with 8 assists and 5 rebounds. And then 24 points as well for Trey Lyles. Whereas the Rockets were led by Jalen Green, he had 32 points. And then they also got a triple-double from Kevin Porter Jr., 30 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. A huge stat line from KPJ out of nowhere. And then they got 17 points and 10 rebounds from Bruno Fernando off the bench. But yeah, this game, not exactly the best advertisement for NBA basketball. Both of these teams basically tanking at this point. The Kings are not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but they are not going to make it. Obviously, they are 4 games out from the Lakers in 10th right now. And then the Rockets, obviously, are tanking to their heart's content. And if you look at the graph of the game, the game flow, it's kind of hilarious because both teams were like humming along throughout the first, second, and third quarters. And then in the fourth, they both just could not buy a bucket, and they were battling to see who could lose this game, basically. The Kings managed to score 17 points in the fourth, whereas the Rockets just managed 15 points. So a really putrid final period. The Rockets were up actually early on. They had outscored the Kings 39-28, but then the Kings dominated in the second quarter, outscoring the Rockets 44-27, and then they were in control throughout the third. But then, like I said, that terrible fourth quarter was just back and forth with neither team really able to do a whole lot. But ultimately, the Kings just pulled away in the end. And they shot 46% from the field, 26% from three. The Rockets were actually 31% from three. But as the league leaders in turnovers, they did their job in this game, having 18 turnovers, whereas the Kings just had 9. So doubling your opponent in turnovers is never a good sign. And so with this loss, the Rockets now fall to 20-57. So that is good for not only last in the Western Conference, but tied for worst record in the entire league. Like I said, the Rockets, Magic, and Pistons are all on 20 wins currently, and then the Thunder are at 22. So it's looking exceedingly likely that the Rockets will have one of those bottom picks in the draft this season. They are negative 8.4 in the point differential, which is in fact worst in the NBA. They're on a 2-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Kings, this win takes them to 28-49. So we actually had a little bit of movement at the bottom of the Western Conference. The Kings surpassing the Portland Trailblazers, moving into 12th. They are now half a game up on Portland, who are in 13th. They are just 1-9 in their last 10 games, whereas the Kings are 4-6 in their last 10. And they are negative 5.3 in the point differential, which is in fact fourth worst in the West. And so, yeah, I would imagine that's how it's going to stay down there at the bottom of the Western Conference, with the Kings fourth to last, the Trailblazers third to last, and then the Thunder and Rockets bringing up the rear. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Kings were led, as I mentioned, by Davion Mitchell, Damian Jones, and Trey Lyles, all of whom had 24 points in the starting lineup. So let's see, starting off with Jones, the big man, he had 24 points on 9 of 13 shooting. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. Really fantastic production from Jones out of nowhere. And then they also got 24 from the rookie point guard Davion Mitchell. He was 11 of 22 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then 24 as well from Trey Lyles. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 4 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then 13 points from Harrison Barnes in 35 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 rebounds. And Justin Holiday, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. He was 0 of 4 from the field in just 10 minutes. But off the bench for the Kings, they got 12 points from Jeremy Lamb in 24 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 7 rebounds. 9 points for Chimezie Metu, the backup big man, in 17 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. 8 points for Dante DiVincenzo in 29 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. 5 points for Josh Jackson in 12 minutes. And 2 for Alex Len. All right, next up we can move on to Oklahoma City, where the Thunder were handily defeated by the Atlanta Hawks, 136-118. The Hawks were led by Trae Young. He had 41 points. And then they also got 20 from Kevin Huerter and Bogdan Bogdanović off the bench. Whereas OKC was led by Lindy Waters III, his career high. He had 25 points off the bench. Incredible stuff for the rookie. And then they also got 18 points from Théo Maledon in the starting lineup and 17 points also off the bench from Olivier Sarr. But yeah, this Thunder team is tanking so hard, it's not even funny. Other than Isaiah Roby, every single player who saw the court is currently in their first or second season. You have Pokuševski and Maledon, who are the sophomores, and then the rest of those guys, Wiggins, Krejci, JRE, Lindy Waters, and Olivier Sarr, all rookies. I guess Sam Presti's getting a little jealous of those teams below him in the conference standings. The Pistons, Magic, and Rockets are all on 20 wins, whereas the Thunder are all the way up, two games up in the win column. They're at 22 wins, so they are doing their best to ensure one of those bottom spots in the draft lottery, and they were just handily defeated in this game. Outscored in the first quarter 42-24, and then 43-34 in the second. So it was already a 30-point game with 6 minutes to go in the second. Bogdan Bogdanović hit a 16-footer that gave the Hawks a 30-point lead. It was 66-36. And then obviously the Hawks just cruised to victory throughout the rest of this game. There was a ton of garbage time late in this one. The scoreline doesn't really indicate how much of a complete blowout it was, just because neither team was trying at all in the second half. And overall, the Hawks shot 53% from the field, 46% from three, whereas the Thunder were 47% from the field, 41% from three. So that's actually not terrible, but they did have 18 turnovers. So like I said, the Thunder now with this loss fall to 22-54, so just ahead of the Rockets at the bottom of the Western Conference, and then just up on the Pistons and Magic in the East. And they are 5 games below the Portland Trailblazers in 13th in the West. And the Thunder are 2-8 in their last 10 games. Their negative 7.6 point differential is second worst in the conference. And as for the Hawks, this win takes them to 39-37. So they are still in 10th in the East, but like I said before, just half a game behind the Charlotte Hornets in 9th, and then 1 game behind the Brooklyn Nets in 8th. So there's still time for the Hawks to improve their spot in the conference standings. They've been in that 10th seed for quite some time, but they would love to get up into the potentially 9th or even 8th seed. That would really help them out in the play-in game. They are playing very well at the moment. They're 7-3 in their last 10, and they're on a 3-game winning streak, and their plus 1.1 point differential is better than the two teams ahead of them. So this Hawks team has been so topsy-turvy all season long. They've never really been able to put together a sustained stretch of competent basketball, but they are definitely playing well at the moment. So we'll see if they can keep this up throughout the rest of the season and potentially move up in the standings. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Hawks were led by Trae Young. He was incredible in his hometown of OKC. He had 41 points in 29 minutes only. He was 13 of 24 from the field, 4 of 12 from beyond the arc, and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. And he had 2 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. He was plus 16 in the plus minus. They also got 20 points from Kevin Huerter in 29 minutes. He was 8 of 10 from the field, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals. 19 points for DeAndre Hunter. He played 30 minutes, and he was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 5 rebounds. 4 points for Clint Capella. He had 11 rebounds. And 10 points for Timothy Luwawu-Cabarro in 23 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. And off the bench for the Hawks, they got 20 points from Bogdan Bogdanović in 22 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, and he had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. 17 points for Kevin Knox in 18 minutes. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 2 rebounds. And then they also got 3 points from Onyeka Okongwu. He had 13 rebounds and 3 assists. And then 2 points from Lou Williams. And as for the Thunder, they were led, as I mentioned, by Lindy Waters off the bench, the rookie. He had a career-high 25 points in 33 minutes. He was 9 of 15 from the field, 7 of 13 from 3. He was just on fire in this game, despite the putrid performance by his team. He was lighting it up, and he had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal as well. And as for the starters, they were led by Théo Maledon, the sophomore point guard. He had 18 points in 34 minutes, and he was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. 13 points for the other sophomore, Alexei Pokuševski, in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 8 assists. 14 points for Isaiah Roby after his incredible performance in their last game. He was 6 of 14 from the field in this one. He had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block. 13 points for Aaron Wiggins in 34 minutes. The rookie, he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And Vit Krejci rounding out the starting lineup. He was ice cold in this game. 1 of 10 from the field. Now, he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. That's how he got the 9 points. But still, 1 of 10, brutal stuff. He did have 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals, though. And then off the bench for the Thunder, besides Lindy Waters, they also got 17 points from Olivier Saar. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 2 assists. And then 9 points for JRE, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. And that was it in terms of the players to see the court off the bench for OKC. All right, next up we can move on to San Antonio, where the Spurs were just edged in the end by the Memphis Grizzlies, 112-111. It was a really close one down the stretch. Keldon Johnson was unable to sink the game-winning shot in the final seconds, and the Spurs just fell to the Grizz, but they were led by DeJounte Murray. He had 33 points and 13 rebounds. And then they also got 19 points from Devin Vassell, the sophomore, and Keldon Johnson, despite missing that game-winning attempt, he had 23 points and 7 rebounds. Whereas the Grizzlies, still missing Ja Morant, were led by Tyus Jones, the point guard. He had 25 points in the starting lineup, and they also got 16 points from Desmond Bain and 21 points from Dylan Brooks. But the Spurs did well to get back into this game because they were trailing pretty significantly early on. It was back and forth throughout the first quarter, but then in the second, the Grizzlies dominated the Spurs, outscoring them 34-25. So they were leading by double digits throughout the majority of the second and third quarters. But then at the end of the third, the Spurs started to chip away at that lead just slightly. They had gotten it to within double digits. It was 95-86 heading into the fourth. But then the Spurs immediately closed that gap at the beginning of the fourth quarter. In the first 2 minutes, they had tied the game back up 93-all, and then the Grizzlies actually pulled away once again about midway through the fourth quarter. They had built up another decent lead after a three-pointer from De'Anthony Melton with 5 minutes on the clock. It was 108-100, so it looked like the Grizz might reestablish a significant lead there at the end of the fourth, but then yet again, the Spurs made a little bit of a comeback. At the very end of the fourth quarter, they were able to cut that deficit all the way down to within a couple of points, and ultimately, Keldon Johnson had a tip shot with 27 seconds to go that cut the deficit to one. At that point, it was that was the final score line, 111-112. And then, like I said earlier, he had a chance to win the game at the very end, but he missed that opportunity, and the Spurs unfortunately lost this one at the very end. So they did well to get back in it, but they just could not complete the comeback, and they shot the ball pretty efficiently, 50% from the field, 40% from three. That's actually slightly better than the Grizz from the field, who were 48%, but they were 41% from three, and both teams had 14-15 turnovers, so pretty similar stats across the board, as you might have expected with a one-point game. But yeah, the Grizz getting another victory with no Ja Morant in the lineup. And so with this win, the Grizzlies now improved to 54-23. So that is good for second in the Western Conference. They are 6 games up on the Dallas Mavericks in third. So really incredible season for the Grizzlies here. They are 8.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns, but that's no indictment on the Grizzlies. That's just a sign of how dominant the Suns have been this season. The Grizzlies are on a 6-game winning streak. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they've got a plus 6.3 point differential, which is now second best in the conference. And as for the Spurs, this loss was not only disappointing because they couldn't complete the comeback, but also disappointing because they now fall back out of the play-in game. They had briefly surpassed the Lakers into 10th, but now the Lakers are back into 10th. The Spurs are in 11th. They are one loss below the Lakers. They're 31-45, whereas LA is 31-44. So they're half a game back from the Lakers, and then they're 3.5 games up on the Sacramento Kings in 12th. And the Spurs are negative 0.3 in the point differential, which is better than the three teams ahead of them. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. But if you look at the rest of the schedule for the Spurs versus the rest of the schedule for the Lakers, it seems pretty likely that they will be able to retake that 10th seed from the Lakers because, I mean, unless they have a miracle and like LeBron James and Anthony Davis both return and start playing well, I just don't see the Lakers being able to close the season out very strongly because they've got a really tough schedule and they're 3-7 in their last 10. They're on a 3-game losing streak. So I do think the Spurs will retake that 10th seed eventually from the Lakers by the end of the season, where they will probably get defeated by the New Orleans Pelicans in the first game of the play-in game. But nonetheless, it's always encouraging to see a team not just embracing the tank down the final stretch when they otherwise could. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Grizzlies were led, as I mentioned, with no Ja Morant by the other point guard, Tyus Jones, in the starting lineup. He was 10 of 21 from the field in 36 minutes. He had 25 points. He had 5 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. At certain points, he was going up against his brother, Trey Jones, on the Spurs. And then they also got 21 points from Dylan Brooks in 31 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. 16 points for Desmond Bain, the sophomore shooting guard, had 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. And then 9 points for Jaren Jackson Jr. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks, and 8 points for Steven Adams, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 3 of 4 from the field in 31 minutes, and he had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And off the bench for the Grizzlies, they got 16 points from DeAnthony Melton. He has been on fire lately. He was 6 of 12 from the field in this game, 4 of 8 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds. And then they also got 10 points from Brandon Clark in 17 minutes, 4 points for Kyle Anderson, and 3 for Zaire Williams, the rookie. Whereas the Spurs were led, as I mentioned, by DeJounte Murray, another incredible performance, 33 points in 38 minutes. He was 12 of 20 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, and he had 13 rebounds, 3 assists. Now, he did have 5 turnovers, but still, the scoring was off the charts for Murray in this game. And then they also got 23 points from Keldon Johnson. He was a little bit less efficient, 9 of 21 from the field, but he had 2 3-pointers, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And then they got 19 points from the sophomore shooting guard, Devin Vassell. He was 7 of 14 from the field, and he had 3 3-pointers, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. And 9 points for Jakob Poeltl, the big man, in 34 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. The rookie, Josh Primo, rounding out the starting lineup, he did not score at all in 15 minutes. He was 0 of 2 from the field. And off the bench for the Spurs, they got 9 points from Josh Richardson in 32 minutes. He had 5 assists, 5 steals, and 3 rebounds. 8 points for Trey Jones, like I said, going up against his older brother, Tyus. And in 17 minutes, he was actually perfect, 3 of 3 from the field. And then they got 6 points from Lonnie Walker in 14 minutes, and 4 points from Zach Collins. Jock Landale saw the court briefly, but he did not score. All right, next up we can move on to San Francisco, where the Warriors were just defeated by the Phoenix Suns, 107-103. Chris Paul was clutch in the end in this game for the Suns and helped them overcome the Warriors. And overall, though, they were led by Mikal Bridges. He had 22 points in the starting lineup. And then they also got a double-double from DeAndre Ayton, 16 points and 16 rebounds, and 22 points from Devin Booker. Whereas the Warriors were led by Jordan Poole, he exploded for 38 points in 37 minutes. He was just on fire in this game, 11 of 22 from the field, 7 of 15 from 3. And then they also got 19 points from Andrew Wiggins and 13 from Klay Thompson, but he was ice cold, counterbalancing Poole. He was 5 of 21 from the field. And so, yeah, this one was really close in the end. The Suns just pulling away, thanks in large part to a really clutch driving layup from Chris Paul with 13 seconds on the clock. That one put the Suns up by 3, 104-101, and they were able to hold on to that lead until the end of the game. So a clutch victory here for Phoenix. Overall, they didn't even shoot the ball that well. They were actually worse than the Warriors. They were 41% from the field, 25% from 3, but they had 14 turnovers versus 21 for the Warriors. That really killed Golden State in this game, the sloppy ball handling, because they shot the ball better than the Suns. They were 42% from the field, 34% from 3. I mean, neither team really shot the lights out necessarily, and they were both pretty sloppy with the ball. So frankly, not exactly the most clean game by either team. But in the end, the Suns got the win in the end, and frankly, it didn't really matter that much for them because they've already clinched the number one seed in the conference. But the Warriors desperately needed this one because they're down in fourth now. With this loss, they are at 48-29, so they are tied with the Dallas Mavericks, who surpassed them into the third spot. And then they're 2 games up on the Denver Nuggets in 5th. And the Warriors are plus 5.0 in the point differential, which is actually 4th best now in the conference. They're on a 4-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Suns, this win takes them to 62-14. So obviously firmly in 1st in the Western Conference, 8.5 games up on the Grizzlies in 2nd. Their plus 8.4 point differential is best in the entire NBA, and they're also on a league-leading 9-game winning streak. So just incredible season here for the Phoenix Suns continues. All right, so moving on to the box score, and Phoenix was led, as I mentioned, by Mikal Bridges and Devin Booker, both of whom had 22 points. Bridges was much more efficient. He was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Booker, he also had 22 points, but he was 5 of 21 from the field. He was 10 of 12 from the free throw line, but still, that field goal percentage was rough for Booker in this game. But he's allowed to have a stinker every once in a while because he's been so incredible so far this season. And he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they also got a double-double from DeAndre Ayton, 16 points and 16 rebounds in 35 minutes. He was 7 of 17 from the field. He had 5 turnovers, though. 15 points from Chris Paul in 33 minutes, the veteran. He was 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. And then Jay Crowder, rounding out the starting lineup, had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block. And off the bench for the Suns, they got 8 points from Landry Shamet in 18 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. And then they also got 6 points from Torrey Craig in 18 minutes. He had 3 rebounds, 3 steals. 6 points from Cameron Payne, the backup point guard. And 2 points from the backup big man, Bismack Biyombo. And as for the Warriors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Jordan Poole. He had an incredible 38-point performance in 37 minutes. He was just on fire in this game. From the field, he was 11 of 22. From the three-point line, he was 7 of 15. And then from the free throw line, he was 9 of 10. So really just scoring abundantly and efficiently from all three categories. And he also had 9 rebounds and 7 assists as well. So an incredible game for Poole. And then they also got 13 points from Klay Thompson, but like I said, he was significantly less efficient than Poole. 5 of 21 from the field, just 1 of 10 from 3, so not the best game here for Thompson. He had 4 assists and 1 rebound. 19 points, though, for Andrew Wiggins. He was also not super efficient, 6 of 16 from the field, but he had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 2 three-pointers. 8 points for Draymond Green in 31 minutes. He stuffed the stat sheet, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. And then they got 2 points from Kevon Looney rounding out the starting lineup. And off the bench for Golden State, they got 10 points from Gary Payton II. He was 5 of 8 from the field. 5 points for Nemanja Bjelica in 19 minutes. 5 as well for Otto Porter. And 3 points for Andre Iguodala. The rookies, Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, both saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. All right, and finally, we can move on to Portland, where the Trailblazers were defeated by the New Orleans Pelicans, 117-107. The Pelicans were led by CJ McCollum. He had 25 points against his former team, and they also got 19 points and 11 rebounds from Jonas Valanciunas, and 19 points as well from Brandon Ingram. They also got 18 points from Jackson Hayes. Whereas the Trailblazers were led by Drew Eubanks, the former Spur, the big man. He was very efficient. He had 21 points on 10 of 12 shooting. And then they also got 16 points off the bench from Ben McLemore and 15 points also off the bench from Reggie Perry. But this game was actually pretty close throughout the majority of regulation. The Pelicans had outscored the Trailblazers 36-32 in the first quarter, but then both teams sort of stagnated in the second. It was 19-18 in favor of the Pels. So they had a slight advantage at halftime, and then they basically went back and forth throughout the third quarter. But then New Orleans finally started to pull away in the fourth, where they outscored Portland 32-25. So in the end, they built up a double-digit lead. CJ McCollum's three-pointer with 2:59 left on the clock gave New Orleans a 13-point advantage. It was 113-100. So in the end, both teams getting what they wanted. The Pelicans get another victory and distance themselves even further than the Lakers in 10th. And then the Trailblazers get another loss and creep further and further down to the bottom of the standings, specifically in the Western Conference, where they're 5 games up on the Thunder. And the Pelicans actually shot the ball pretty well in this game. They were 45% from the field, 33% from beyond the arc, whereas the Pelicans were 51% from the field, so that's pretty solid, but they were just 25% from three. But they had 14 turnovers versus 22 turnovers for the Trailblazers. That's really where they gave this game away in the fourth quarter. So with this loss, Portland now falls to 27-49. So like I said, down in 13th now in the West, 5 games up on the Thunder, and just half a game behind the Sacramento Kings in 12th. And the Trailblazers are negative 7.5 in the point differential. They're on a 5-game losing streak, and they're 1-9 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pelicans, this win takes them to 33-43. So still in 9th in the Western Conference, and now 1.5 games up on the Lakers in 10th, and then they are 4 games behind the LA Clippers in 8th. And the Pels are negative 0.9 in the point differential. They're on a 2-game winning streak, though. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Pelicans were led, as I mentioned, by CJ McCollum versus his former team. He had 25 points in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 16 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And then they also got a double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 19 points and 11 rebounds, and he had 4 assists and 4 steals as well. He was 8 of 11 from the field, so a really fantastic performance from JV. Then they got 18 points from Jackson Hayes, his partner in the front court. He was also very efficient, 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 3 rebounds, 2 blocks. 19 points for Brandon Ingram. He was 4 of 12 from the field only, but 11 of 13 from the free throw line, and he had 6 rebounds and 6 assists. And then Herb Jones, the rookie, rounding out the starting lineup. He only had 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting, but he did have 5 assists and 4 steals. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 10 points from Trey Murphy III, the other rookie. In 23 minutes, he was 3 of 9 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds. The third rookie, Jose Alvarado, he was 3 of 3 from the field in 15 minutes. He had 6 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. And then they also got 8 points from Larry Nance. In 22 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field. 8 points as well from Najee Marshall. He was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. And then 2 points for Devontae Graham, although he was just 1 of 5 from the field. And as for the Trailblazers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Drew Eubanks, the big man. He had 21 points in 31 minutes. He was 10 of 12 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. He's been playing very well for the Trailblazers to close the season out, as Yusuf Nurkic has been officially ruled out for the rest of the season. Then they also got 10 points and 10 assists from Brandon Williams. In 27 minutes, he had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, although he also had 6 turnovers. 9 points for Greg Brown III, the rookie. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and he had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And then 9 points as well for CJ Ellaby. He was brutal in this game, 1 of 9 from the field. He had 7 rebounds and 3 assists. And Keon Johnson, the rookie rounding out the starting lineup, had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. Off the bench for Portland, they got 16 points from Ben McLemore, the veteran shooting guard. He was 5 of 12 from the field in 26 minutes, and he had 3 three-pointers. 15 points for Reggie Perry in 17 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 6 rebounds. 6 points for Keljan Blevins, 5 for Didi Luzada, and 9 points for Chris Dunn, the backup point guard. And he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. We had a couple of incredible options to pick from. Ultimately, we have to go with the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic, who was just incredible. But just to run through some of the other options, you had Kevin Porter Jr. dropping a huge triple-double out of nowhere, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists. You also had 35 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds from Luka Doncic. Darius Garland had 25 and 10, 15 points and 12 assists for Tyrese Halliburton. He also had 38 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists from Jordan Poole. Trae Young had 41, 20 and 15 for LaMelo Ball. So there was incredible lines across the board last night in the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis had 35, DeJounte Murray had 33. There was a ton of good options, but ultimately, we're going to go with Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. He was just incredible once again. 37 points on an insane 15 of 19 shooting. Now, he didn't attempt a three-pointer, but he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Now, he did have 7 turnovers, so the 0 threes and the 7 turnovers hurt, but the 37 points on 15 of 19 shooting is just hard to ignore. It's just incredible. And then, of course, the 22 combined rebounds and assists don't hurt. And the 3 combined steals and blocks are the cherry on top. So Nikola Jokic, once again, is your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, we actually had a couple of really good options. So we could have gone with Kevin Porter Jr. with that triple-double, the 30-point, 12-rebound, 12-assist triple-double. That was incredible. But ultimately, instead, we're going to go with Damian Jones, the big man with the Sacramento Kings. He just had a really surprisingly good line. He was frankly in contention for standout line of the night. He had 24 points on 9 of 13 shooting. He was 0 of 1 from 3, but 6 of 9 from the free throw line, and he had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. That's really where he won this award, with those 4 blocks. That is really valuable. And then, of course, the very efficient 24 points is fantastic as well. So Damian Jones is your surprising line of the night, and Nikola Jokic is your standout line of the night. All right, and so with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Thursday, March the 31st, and we've just got 5 games on in the NBA tonight. So starting off in Detroit, the Pistons are taking on the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are big favorites. They are minus 10. In Brooklyn, the Nets are taking on the Milwaukee Bucks, a juicy matchup here. The Nets are favored. They are minus 1.5. In Atlanta, the Hawks take on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Hawks are minus 5.5. In Chicago, the Bulls are minus 2.5 versus the LA Clippers. And then finally, in Utah, the Jazz take on the LA Lakers, and the Jazz are big favorites. They are minus 13. All right, so some really intriguing games here tonight. All of these games are interesting for one reason or another. So first, I'm intrigued by that line for the Jazz, minus 13 at home. Now, they are obviously a much more competent team than the Lakers at this point, but that is just a huge sign of disrespect for the Lakers. Obviously, if there's no LeBron James, as well as no Anthony Davis, that makes sense, I guess. But still, that is a really huge line. I think I'm going to stay away from that one. I was also intrigued by the LA Clippers plus 2.5 in Chicago. Now, hopefully we see Paul George and he plays another full complement of minutes, because he was so incredible in his first game back. And so I'm a little bit tempted by this line, frankly. I mean, the Bulls have really been struggling over the past couple of months. They are 4-6 only in their last 10 games, whereas the Clippers had that rousing come-from-behind win in their last one, and they're only 3-7 in their last 10, but I think they can really start to turn things around throughout the final stretch of the season here as the playoffs approach. So I think that is, in fact, going to be our best bet. We're going to go with the Clippers plus 2.5 in Chicago, and then I was also tempted by the Atlanta Hawks minus 5.5 versus the Cavaliers, because even though it's the second night of a back-to-back, they are at home for both of them, but that line just feels a little bit too high, 5.5 versus a team that is several spots ahead of them in the standings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, even though they're really struggling recently. But yeah, I'm going to stay away from that one. Obviously, the biggest matchup of the night is the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. Even though the Nets are down in 8th in the conference standings and the Bucks are in 2nd, these are undoubtedly two of the most talented teams, with the Nets having Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant now for all of their games. And so I am tempted to take the Nets minus 1.5. It's really just a pick 'em, basically. I mean, they just have to win by 2 points. It's not a back-to-back for either team, and the Nets do have home court advantage, but it's not really much of a home court advantage for them. So I don't know. I'm tempted by the Nets minus 1.5. But I think ultimately I'm going to stay away. The Bucks could very easily win this game. In fact, I mean, plus 1.5 for them. If it was any more than 1.5, I might go Bucks. But yeah, it's just really close. I think it'll be a close one in the end. And so I'm going to stay away from that one. But it's going to be an exciting game nonetheless. So I think we're just going to have the one best bet for today. It's going to be the Clippers plus 2.5 in Chicago. And that's going to be it for today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod. Or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review, and we'll be back tomorrow to recap all 5 of those games and to preview the action for Friday, April 1st. So until then, thanks for tuning in.